We're starting a brand new month, and with the brand new month, we're dealing with the subject of the Gospels, and this month we will be working with the Apostle John, and go on, I suppose, on to the book. To kind of introduce the lesson, I've been given the first five verses of the first chapter of John as an introduction to the Gospel. The gist of this lesson and the thing that I hope to prove to you and the words that the Apostle John said was that Jesus is God and Jesus is deity. In him was life and the life was the light of men. This is a hard subject for me today. I have a hard time wrapping my brain around this concept of the Godhead with three. This would have been a better lesson for Paul or Mike or Brian, because they have more intelligence and more education than I do, and the more a better ability to understand this. I'm able to understand this in my heart. I understand it and I believe it. But when you begin to wrap your brain, your thought process around this Godhead of God the Son, and God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, it is a very complex thing, and it's something that a lot of people have trouble with. But this is the very foundation of our belief, is that Jesus is God, that Jesus is deity. And this passage is, in fact, a faith lesson. The first five verses of the first chapter of John say a lot about Jesus. And it is a great introduction to the Son of God, and to identify Jesus not only as deity, but as the Savior of the world. And after these first five verses and the declaration that Paul has made, the rest of this chapter is more or less just written to show that, in the words of John 20 and 31, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in him. Jesus is the reason for the Bible. And I believe that every verse that was written from Genesis 15, 3 and 15, until the last word of the book of Revelations was written and focused directly upon Jesus Christ. I think that the writings of the Old Testament were focused on Jesus Christ as the coming Messiah. And I believe that the words of the New Testament are focused on this is Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. This book was written by John, who was the son of Zebedee, who was a Jew that was extremely familiar with all of the customs and all the feasts and the things of Israel. He was a Jew of all Jews. He was an apostle, one of the original 12 of Jesus, and he was an eyewitness to the ministry that Jesus accomplished in his few years of ministry upon earth. It was John that gives us tidbits of information that some of the other writers of the other Gospels did not give us. It was John that told us when Jesus was sitting by the well in Samaria that he was tired, that he was fatigued. This gives us the human side of Jesus. He was fatigued, as we all get at the end of a day. It was John that was present at the Passover and the communion service that Jesus gave. It was John that saw the disappointment when he had to pick out Judas Iscariot as the one that was to betray him. It was John that told us that the name of the high priest's servant that Peter had cut the ear off of was a man by the name of Malchus. It was John that gave us these insights, because John was a very close friend of Jesus. He spent a lot of time with Jesus. He knew Jesus well, and he was a member of the inner circle around Jesus. In about AD 96, there was an historian by the name of Clement of Rome that wrote about the writings of John, the Gospel of John, also the writings of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There was a group of people in the world at this time, in this first century, that had very well educated, very strong in the law, very well thought of in their own minds, that began to deny the apostles and to deny the inspiration of God in the apostles. And it was all four of them that they were denying. All of the other apostles, Matthew and Luke and Mark, were all written and in the world before AD 70. They say that the writing of John, though, was from somewhere between 75 and 95, probably closer to 95 when this book was finally out. And the book of John was a book that was written to refute or to debate the words of these self-imposed scholars that was saying that these were not inspired words of God, but in fact the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and even John, but especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, was it was an attempt by the early Christians to justify their belief. It was writings of fiction is what they said. It was not the inspired writings of God. And when John wrote this, he wanted to make absolutely plain and absolutely sure that these were divinely written, they were divinely inspired, and that all he did was pen the words of God. So John is extremely clear when he writes these first five verses to explain just exactly who Jesus was. In the beginning, John said, was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John 1, verses 1 through 5. What we're going to talk about for a short while this morning is about the Word of God. And the Word of God is Jesus. We know Him by other names. We refer to Him as our Messiah, as our Savior, as our hope, as the light, as our salvation. He's referred to as our King. He's referred to as the bridegroom. He's referred to as the head of the church. But John referred to Jesus as God. Let's pray. Jesus, the Word, is what John is trying to, the thought that John is trying to get to us here is that Jesus is deity, that Jesus is part of the Godhead. It says in the first two verses that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John 1, verses 1 and 2. In the first century, there was a group of men they referred to as Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S. These were men that were very well educated. These were men that were very high in society. These were men in the Jews that felt that they were a whole lot better than what they really were. They had a very high opinion of themselves. They were also a group of men that looked down upon Christians as being uneducated and superstitious and unlearned. And they had come up with the idea that this religion stuff and that Jesus was a myth. And they denied Jesus. They denied the gospel. They denied He was part of the Godhead. And they went about denying the deity of Christ. They were very wise. They were respected. And they hated Christ. And they hated the religion, and they did everything in the world that they could to destroy it. John's gospel was written as a defense to this false doctrine that these Gnostics were spreading. Now, that's not something that just happened in the first century, because these same doubters and these same deniers are with us today. And they're the same type of people. They're very liberal. They're very educated. Usually they are in high positions. They are thought of as being experts. They look down on society and they condemn and deny anything of religious, saying it is a superstition that the unlearned and the unknowledgeable have. And they do everything that they can in their power today to deny. So this is absolutely nothing new. God uses such He uses words to be able to express the idea that He is trying to make. We also carefully choose our words when we want to specifically state something as we want to say it. When God is speaking about His Son Jesus, and John is writing the words, the inspired words, as God is giving them to him, God is very plain when He describes His Son Jesus. In verse 14 of this same chapter, the Bible describes the Word, or identifies the Word as the one who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now, the first verse, the first two verses, very, very explicit in explaining who Jesus was. He was with God, and the Word was God. But in this last verse, in 14, it said, Jesus is the one that became flesh and blood and dwelt amongst us. And that's the way God explains to us who Jesus is, that he is part of the Godhead. Jesus, in fact, is the action part of God. He is the one that is in the world, that is the example, that is the demonstration of God in the world. He is the part of the Godhead that became human and able to glorify and be able to show God, the world, who God is. When we look at these first two verses, there's three things that we really need to understand and to see. The part we need to understand is that Jesus is part of the Godhead. But Jesus was the part of the Godhead that became flesh, that he might be a manifestation of God to the world. He became Jesus of Nazareth. He was in the beginning, though, God says, with God. The Bible does not say that he had a beginning. The Bible does not say that Jesus was a created being, but that Jesus was there in the beginning with God. He has always been there. He is not a creation. Jesus is a creator. Second thing we need to understand by these two verses in the first chapter of John is that Jesus was with God. He was in fellowship with the Father. He was equal to God. In Philippians 2, 6, and 7, it said that Jesus did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. He gave up his position temporarily in heaven with God as an equal position to come to earth to take on the form of a man to do the job that he had to do. Again, he became the manifestation of God upon earth, a man that was half man, half earthly, and half spiritual. When we get down a little further in this chapter, we're going to see that the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Mary was engaged to Joseph, but at the time she was not married, and the Bible says that she was a virgin. She had never known man. But Gabriel told Mary, you will conceive a child, and you will bear a man-child, and you will name his name Jesus. And that you will be the earthly mother of this child, and God will be the spiritual father of this child. Jesus came from heaven and came to earth to take on the form of a man, God, of a spiritual man, so that he would be able to live a perfect life as only he could do. And then mankind would be justified through him. They refer to this as the Immaculate Conception because it was something that was completely supernatural. It was something that could not happen with Mary and God. But yet Jesus was immaculately conceived so that the God might come to earth in the form of Jesus. Third part we see in these first two verses is that Jesus was the Word of God. He possesses the same characteristics of God. He has the same eternal nature of God. He has no beginning and no end, just as God. He has the same identity, the same purpose, the same mind as God. Now, truthfully, when Jesus was born a woman and lived upon this earth for those 32, 33 years, he limited himself in his spiritual abilities, but he never became a different person. He never became a different being than what he already was. Even as he walked on earth, he was still the eternal one, and he was still God. There is a very strong and a very powerful doctrine in our world today, in our country today, and they knock doors. And one of their doctrines and theories is that Jesus was a very good man. He was smart. He was educated. He was a good speaker. He was a rabbi. That he was just a wonderful and a very good man. But they refused to accept the fact that Jesus was deity. Now, if there's ever a time when you have a problem saying and meaning my Lord and my God, speaking about Jesus, you need to look at yourself because you've got something that is unscriptural, and this very strong religion that will knock on your door is going to tell you that Jesus was a good guy, but he was just a human. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was deity. There's a second thing we need to learn. Because Jesus had a relationship with God. But Jesus also had a very strong relationship to the creation. Jesus was the creator of everything. Jesus was the creator of the world, and of the stars, of the universe. He was the creator of man, of everything that is known. Jesus was the creator. John verses chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 said, all things came into being by him. And apart from him, nothing has come in that has come into being. In him was life. One of the most used phrases that you will see when you begin to read the letter of Genesis is the phrase, and God said. And when God said this would happen, immediately it happened. By saying, and God said, the universe was created with all of the magnificence and the depth and the breadth and the light years and all of the many things of the earth was created because God said the universe would be created. God said that the earth would be created, that the waters would be divided. God breathed the spirit of man into this lump of clay that he made. And God said it, and it happened. When God spoke, it became so. And in the creation, in the book of Genesis, we're able to witness the power and the majesty and the wisdom of God. We're able to see the creative forces and the ability that God had to talk things into existence. But God said that the Word was the part that did it. And that the Word is eternal. That the Word is Jesus. That He is with God and He is God. Jesus is the creator. It says that all things came into being by him. Jesus is God. The one that we know as Jesus was very active in the creation. Genesis said in their account, when we read the words of God, there was definitely clear that there was a plurality of persons that God spoke of. In Genesis 1 and 26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. God didn't say, I'm going to make man in my image and to my likeness. He said, we will make in our image and in our likeness. The Word, Jesus, was part of this creation of man. Jesus is God. It's hard sometimes for the mind of man to be able to grasp this concept, this complex concept of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and yet realizes that there's three individuals, but yet they are one in God. It's hard for me to see it. I can see it in my heart, I can think, but in my mind, it's a difficult thing to understand because it is so unnatural to earth. But if you go to Genesis 2 and 24, it speaks about God when he created the man and the woman. And they would, the man and the woman, two people would become as one. This is referred to as the marriage that we have. That the man and a woman would become as one. We can understand that. That's something that is natural. That's something that is human. We understand that. But taking this same principle in and this same concept, we can bring it about that there's three individuals in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But yet they make up God. Again, Jesus is the manifestation. He is the Word. He is the manifestation of God upon earth. There are several passages in the Bible that speaks about the role that Jesus had in creation. Ephesians 3, 9, and 11 said that God created all things which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ was there when the creation of all things. I like these verses in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. It said, for by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And then Hebrews 1 and 2, it said in these last days, has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Through him also he made the world. Jesus is deity. Jesus is God. These passages, I think, are very plain in that they point to Jesus as deity, that the Son is the Word of God, that the Son is the source of creation, and nothing was created and nothing sustains itself except Jesus is there. The Son is eternal. He did not create himself. He is the source of life itself. Nothing exists and nothing sustains itself without Jesus. This has been so since the 15th verse of the 3rd chapter of Genesis, when God said, "There will come one that will defeat you, Satan." And the covenant that God made with Abraham, that the people of Abraham would be blessed through the Messiah, that is God the Son that came down to earth and became the Messiah for us. There's also a third part of Jesus that's spoken about in these first 5 verses, and that is the relationship that Jesus had to man. And the light was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This phrase, "and the light was the light of men," refers to Jesus as the life and as the light of men. Jesus has been the light in the life of men from the beginning, in the past, in the present, and in the future, until this whole world will no longer roll. The Son of God is the essence and the source of life itself. And when you compare the life and the light of Jesus to see the right, then you can compare this to the darkness and the death and the sin and the evilness and the depravity of the world, which belongs to Satan. Satan is darkness. Satan is death. Jesus is life and light. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6 and 23. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 and 3 that the Son first gave physical life to the creatures of the world, and just as he continues to uphold all things by the word of his power, Jesus offers spiritual life. Jesus is the light of the world. To those that are spiritually dead, he offers to them eternal life by faith. In a world that is so full of darkness and evilness as we live in, and the wickedness and the impact that this evilness and deception and betrayal and hatred and murders and all of these many things of Satan, it's quite an impact on the existence of humanity. And you would think that everyone in the world would be focusing themselves, going after the light and the life, instead of following after the darkness of the world. But the Bible says here that the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend, because the darkness is opposed to the truth. And man has closed their eyes to the truth. They've closed their hearts to the truth. They've closed their minds to the truth, even as these Gnostics did, even as our liberal educators today, denying the existence of God, denying the existence of Jesus, denying the existence of his gospel and the necessity of it. People choose to ignore, neglect, oppose, and deny Jesus Christ. Many have come to love darkness and hate the light because their deeds were evil, as according to John 3, 19 through 21. But there's a consequence to this. We can live in the light. We can live in the light. We can do the obedient things that we're supposed to do. We can hear about Jesus. We can believe upon Jesus as the Son of God. We can repent of our sins. We can confess the name of Jesus before man, that he is in fact deity, and we believe that. We can be baptized into his kingdom, and we have a hope of salvation. But those that do not do that have no hope of salvation. The final results of those that do not accept God is a rebellion that will result in eternal darkness, that will result in a final separation from all that is good, and it leads to condemnation. And the Bible is extremely plain when it says we must have Jesus. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the life. So as I conclude this little study, I want you to understand that John was trying to point out to us that Jesus is deity. The inspired words of God that John penned says that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit make up the deity and the Godhead. So the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. John said Jesus is one third of the Godhead. He's always been. He was not created. He is not a creature. He is a creator. Jesus is God, the part of God that has been manifested to humanity that shows the face of God to people. That's why the Bible says that in God we can see Jesus, in Jesus we can see God. Thankfully, Jesus is also known as our Messiah. He's known as our hope, he's known as our Savior, and he is known as the part of the Godhead that came to earth, took on the form of a man, lived perfectly, and then died so that we, through him, might be justified. Through him, we have an opportunity of salvation. There is no other opportunity of salvation in the world. And that's why we've got to obey him. That's why we have to follow the gospel plan. Because Jesus has promised to save those that would believe upon him and follow him. John, I think, is very adamant and very clear and very plain in his writings in these first five verses of 1 John. Jesus is deity. That concludes my remarks. Let's have a song of invitation, and if we can help anybody, we ask you to lean forward as we sing.